the catalyst for kind of starting it was there's all this like children's material out there, and it's hard to find stuff that's like enriching for your children. So I was like, you know what? I'm a father. It's ultimately my responsibility to educate my children to make sure they have the values that I want them to have. And so I'm just going to create this myself, and I'm going to share it with whoever else wants to come along. And that's how we started it.
That's Bradley Haas, prior member of the 1st Ranger Battalion, current law enforcement officer, and creator of the Junior Classics podcast, where they are inspiring children and families to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in Western literature, history, and scholarship. So let's travel to Indiana to join him and his family as we discuss how you and your family can be brave, loyal, and speak the truth. Grab a seat by the fire. This is the Homeschool Project Podcast. So let's welcome Brad and Melanie from the Junior Classics Podcast. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Excellent. Yeah, nice to have you. You are coming to us from the great state of Indiana, right?
Indeed. The Hoosier State.
Hoosier State. How's the weather? Are you guys getting snow yet?
Not yet. We have wonderful sunshine today, which is fantastic. It's been dreary the last week.
Well, your weather came our way. We've had rain and clouds for like a week straight. And then there's apparently snow coming this way too on Monday.
Oh man. No, we haven't. It
did snow on Halloween last year, so we'll see.
Nice. Well, we had you on because you guys, like I said, are the creators of the Junior Classics podcast, right?
Absolutely.
But we always start off with like an introduction. So we were hoping you could just tell us a little bit about yourselves, your background, and your family.
Sure. I'll start and then I'll pass it to you. My name's Brad Hasse. My wife, Melanie. We've been married for 10 years, almost 11 now. We have three children. Our oldest son, 6. Then we go 6, 4, and 2. Let's see. We live in Indiana. I was in the military. I'm a police officer now. We love our kids and wanted to, the podcast is really something to benefit them and our family as a whole. Do you have anything else to add?
I work part-time from home. I'm an engineer, so I only work a little bit and it's from home, so I can still be around the kids a lot, which is really good. And then the times that I'm working, they're with either my mom or with Brad's mom. So it's nice. We don't have to put them in childcare or anything like that. So.
Wow. That is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the grandmas get their time and it works out great for everyone. They love it.
Which actually was the main reason we moved back home. We were living in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was like, man, it's time to start having a family. So let's move to where our family is. Mm-hmm. And it was the best decision we ever made.
Okay. And don't be shy, Brad. Tell everybody what you did in the military.
Sure. I was in 1st Ranger Battalion for 4 years. I deployed 4 times, went to Afghanistan 3 times, Iraq once. And yep, that's what I did.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service now. That's about in the toughest job you could possibly be in currently. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And so your podcast, can you tell us a little bit about your podcast? What it is you do with it and what it is you hope to accomplish with it?
Sure. So what it is, it's a story-driven podcast for kids. I basically take classic literature and I read them in a dramatized fashion for the kids. So I'll usually do like the narration and then I'll try to get different actors. Basically, it's people in my family, friends that I reach out to. And it's a lot of fun because I'll just like invite people to come in and be this character. And then, so that's like the story part. And then before the story, I'll try to, I'll introduce the story by trying to find some like fun facts or history or just like cultural stuff. For a little bit of learning experience. I'm reading from a collection of books that was published in like 1918. So a lot of the English, some of the English language is words that, you know, I'm not even familiar with. So I use that as an opportunity to, just do a little like vocab. I call it lost and found words, just keep it real simple. And then I'll usually introduce the story in some sort of like interesting way, whatever the heck I come up with at the time. And then we'll read the story. And then I try to leave the kids with some sort of lesson that I find in the story. Sometimes it's just like observing a character's behavior. Sometimes it's like a deeper lesson, but just leave them with something. And that's what we do. It's been a lot of fun. And what do we hope to accomplish? Well, Basically, this is, at the end of the day, it's a personal legacy project. I just figured if I read these stories, then for as long as these podcasts exist, you know, our descendants could listen to them, you know, over and over. So, you know, a couple generations from now, you know, great grandchild could listen to old great granddad Hassie read them bedtime stories before bed. So, and I just want to share that with everybody, basically.
Well, it's a wonderful supplement for families because it kind of helps bring in more of that read aloud time that is so important. Mm-hmm. And like for us, we'll listen to audio books, audio stories, which is what this is, in the car ride. I'll do it when I'm trying to get some chores done, or mm-hmm. even if I'm like in for homeschooling families, it's a great supplement as well, because we can, if we have to work with one child, then you can have this, something like this playing. So the other children are able to listen to something that's good while you're having to work with the other one. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This is just a great resource. And I'm really excited that we came across it, because there's not many that do the classics. So, and for children, I think I read a little bit about it, but as far as like the, where you get the stories from, the junior classics, like the volumes, just a little bit about that.
The catalyst for kind of starting it was there's all this like children's material out there, and it's hard to find stuff that's like enriching for your children. So I was like, you know what? I'm a father. It's ultimately my responsibility to educate my children, to make sure they have the values that I want them to have. And so I'm just going to create this myself, and I'm going to share it with whoever else wants to come along. And that's how we started it.
Love it. Well, our kids love it too. especially our son. Again, they were very excited that we were talking to Sir Bradley and his wife tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it. I call her Lady Melanie, but she doesn't want to go along with it.
Yeah, I don't want to get too, like, you know, medieval times with this. Yeah.
Lady.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But yeah, they, I posted today that this week, because we have been listening to them, we'll kind of mix it up in our homeschool. And so during our story time, we have story time in the morning right after breakfast, and it just changes between our language arts storybook or an audio book. And so they have been listening to your podcast. And then this past week, they listened to like 3 in a row, and I had to like cut them off. Like, okay, we had to keep moving on with our day here, but they loved it. Even wonderful. The 3-year-old, there was this day in the car, and we were leaving a park. So, I mean, they were exhausted, and we get in the car, and I'm like, okay, you know, who wants to listen to the Junior Classics podcast? And they're like, my oldest was like, yes, I do. And the little one, and then the middle one was like, no, I'm just too tired. So I don't want to miss out on it. So don't play it. And then the 3-year-old was like, Sir Bradley, the next.
That's hilarious. Music to my ears.
Yes. So you guys are doing a great job. Definitely it's doing something for our kids, at least.
I had a quick question for you, Brad. Do you think that your time in the service and the job that you do now, do you think that had anything to do with the character that you like built for this podcast?
Yeah, it did. I really didn't have any, you know, master plan thought of when I started creating this. So it was basically through like discovery, and I really like history. I actually went to school to be a history teacher. I thought I was going to be a history teacher, decided not to, but I still have that passion and that desire to teach, especially history. And a lot of these stories, well, we're starting with fairy tales, but eventually they're going to get into like histories, especially around like medieval times. And so I kind of like that as a theme. And yeah, thinking of my kind of character, like who I wanted to be in the podcast, I just decided to go with the medieval thing and kind of think of myself as like a modern knight, I guess, because I have been in the army and the and police. And I know it's a little corny, but hey, I think the kids
love it.
I think the kids like it. And actually, it's kind of a responsibility to present yourself as like a role model, I guess, or somebody who's trying to like teach these values, it's like, well, you better be doing it too. So yeah, I think it did have a little bit to do with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a kind of the cool thing about your podcast is that it's not just you reading the story. It's you, like you said, you introduce certain words and then you make sure that you discuss the values in the story.
Yeah, I try to at the end.
Yeah,
which is can be hard. It actually can be hard sometimes because I'll read the story. I'm like, what the heck is the lesson in this? You know, like it can go so many different directions, but I've just decided to, what I try to do is, like I said, this is a personal legacy project. I'm like, what would I actually want to tell my kids and grandkids about this story? And so it's basically like what I want to share about it. It might not be what the standard, you know, lesson in, you know, name the story is. So it's a lot of creativity on my part, I guess, which I like, but also can be a little daunting.
Well, you've done a great job. The ones that we've listened to, which I don't know if it's as most of them at this point, but the lessons that you teach is really the kids talk about it at the end too, which is, you know, makes us happy because it's not just them listening to a story. It's them getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So Charlotte Mason, I don't think you guys are familiar with her. This is more for the homeschooling population.
A little bit.
We've heard the name. Yeah. Okay. When we like toyed around with the idea of homeschooling.
Yeah, we've dived into it. We can talk about that later, but yeah, go on.
So she is a British educator that lived like in the late 1800s. And her philosophy on education is very popular amongst homeschoolers, including ourselves. We incorporate a lot of her philosophy into our homeschool, but she was a big proponent of children reading rich literature and avoiding what she called twaddle when possible. And twaddle can be described as books that hold nothing of value, essentially. And so I wanted to share this quote, and everybody kind of has a different definition or how they apply twaddle, but it's fitting because, again, the reason why this podcast is so great because you don't have the twaddle in there. So she says, they must grow up upon the best. There must never be a period in their lives when they are allowed to read or listen to twaddle or reading made easy. There is never a time when they are unequal to worthy thoughts, well put, inspiring tales, well told. So, I mean, that one's a little, it just depends how you are, obviously, to never read twaddle. That's not us, but her point is that the kids can handle good literature. And sometimes, you know, there was a period of time where people just adults didn't think that kids could listen or read good literature. They wouldn't understand it, but they do. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much they do. Mm-hmm. Like when Nathan, you were, we had been reading the fairy books by Andrew Lang. I don't know
if you're familiar with them. Yeah, I'm familiar. Yep.
So there's the green fairy book, the yellow fairy book, and there's one more, but we had been reading them for a period of time in our house. And I just like, sometimes when I was listening, I was like, what? And then but the kids were so into it. I'm like, okay. And this is the stuff that like Tolkien grew up reading himself. I mean, this is good stuff. So
indeed.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because even there's many homeschooling methods that like their reading lists include nothing but the classics, like the classic literature, and with reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that just makes me think, you were saying the kids, they can really get a lot of this, like they can understand more than we might think, but then even the things that they don't understand, then that just sparks curiosity and, you know, like a platform to learn. And, you know, that's ultimately what we want for our kids, right? We absolutely don't want them to read something and then, oh, I'm not getting anything out of this. Mm-hmm. So
our son especially, we can be reading to him and he might be off in the corner, he's messing with something, and you're like, why am I sitting here reading this to you? You're not paying attention. And 2 minutes later he'll ask like a really in-depth question about something. Yeah, you read. Yeah. And you're like, apparently he was paying attention this entire time. He's just not looking at me.
Right. Yeah. No, a friend of mine, she lives in Florida. She homeschools, and her son does best with like read alouds when he's actually upside down for whatever reason, like head on the floor, feet up on the couch. And that, you know, he doesn't want to look at pictures. He wants to just imagine in his head. And
he's getting all that blood to his brain.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, it's all about the movement. Our child could never sit and listen to a story. He'll get more out of it if he can be active and like be an active listener. So he's building blocks or drawing, or maybe he is upside down on the couch, and we're good with that because lo and behold, they are listening. It's crazy. But it's usually the good stuff that I feel like they really pick up on.
Right. Yeah, I think that, you know, we're setting a pretty high bar for the literature that I'm choosing. And I was a little hesitant on whether, you know, the kids, my kids, the age that there are, if they would even be able to comprehend or even have like the attention span, you know, with the words and ideas that they're being introduced to. And so over a year ago, when I had this idea, I just cracked the book and started reading to them aloud and instantly just went quiet. Just they listen until I'm done reading, basically. So that was a confirmation that it's going to work. And, you know, I think as humans, you know, before we could write things down and record things, I mean, everything it appears was, or many things were, passed down orally. So I think there's something, you know, embedded in us that when someone tells a story, it's just like instant attention is given to that story. And I pretty much think that it goes from the young to the old. I mean, who doesn't like listening to a story? So I enjoyed reading these stories, you know, when I read them. A lot of them I haven't even heard of before. So it's been fun for me also. But yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about young kids listening. They're going to pay attention, and the stuff that they don't get is just going to be challenging to them, and it's going to spark curiosity. And I think it's all good. It's all good.
We talked about with your podcast, you know, and with good literature, period, that they can learn so much through the, I mean, you've brought in geography with the Ireland. I love that. Like, we're, you know, all the facts about Ireland. Okay, your mission now to go find it on the map. That's great. Like, I love that kind of stuff. So with these classics, they tie in the geography, the history, vocab. I love how you help them on that vocab journey because, yes, they will hear all these words that they're not familiar with, but you're explaining it, which is a plus on your podcast. And then, of course, like exposing them to good writing with the rich language. But good literature can also improve character development. And there's an article that referenced a study done on the effects literary fiction had on people. And quote, it found that after reading literary fiction as opposed to popular fiction or serious nonfiction, people performed better on tests measuring empathy, social perception, and emotional intelligence. And I hear that a lot, that somehow this impacts like even the empathetic side of people. And for our kids, that's just so important. And then obviously, as far as the character development, you help that too at the end of your podcast episodes by saying, what have you learned? And it always applies to character development.
Sure.
Stories that you read, some of them are stories that a lot of people will know. However, they've never heard the version that you read.
They might not have.
The new versions are all watered down. So typically the endings in the old versions are, you know, they make horror movies out of them now.
Right.
Right.
A little scarier.
They are. And that's, we have no problem with that because I think that by watering down those stories, you take something away from it and you take something away from the kid or the person reading it. These stories aren't shallow. They hit serious plots.
Yeah.
And it's something that the kid is, you know, the kids have to, you know, listen to and deal with. And obviously a lot of times it's the parent that's explaining it to them after the fact. Like we read, there was one the other day.
Oh, I have one in my.
And they were like, that's not how that story ended. That's not how that story is supposed
to end.
Little
Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Your Little Red Riding Hood.
That's what it was.
They said, Sir Bradley's incorrect. That's not how it ends.
Sir Bradley.
She's fine. She lives. She's fine right now.
Right. So in the original, she doesn't make it. Right. So that's something that.
she falls to her doom or something. She falls out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that they have to process. To
find out.
Which a lot of kids nowadays, they don't end up processing situations like that because it's not in anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything's a happy ending, right? And, you know, that's not life at all.
Right.
And it's, I think it's fine for kids to, you know, hear things like that in certain ways, like your stories, and give them the opportunity to process it and ask questions about it and realize that just as in life, all stories don't end like you want them to. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. The editor that put together the first edition of these had something about, you know, these expose people to the rough and thorny road that, you know, mankind has traveled down for, you know, thousands of years. And I think a lot of stories for children today have been sterilized of conflict in general, you know, some violence, but real world stuff that they're going to have to deal with as an adult, you know, regardless, you're going to grow up and have to deal with that. So I think it's good that they can be exposed to it now in a somewhat controlled environment, you know, through this where we're talking through it at the end. And then hopefully, you know, I do want the parents to be involved at the extent they want to. But, you know, it's a great opportunity. I think it's a golden opportunity to talk about some mature themes with your children. If we're going to talk about that, hear it from us first instead of, you know, them hearing it from somebody else. So definitely mature themes. There's one called Bluebeard that I almost did not read. I read it and I read it aloud to Bennett first and he was a little terrified. And I was like, man, this one is really intense.
I was like, are you sure we want to include this one? So, maybe put a caveat. I think there is. You do have a disclaimer.
I think
right?
I did. I almost didn't do it, but I was like, you know what? Like it's okay.
There's no pictures. It's
they're
going to
be
know.
Okay.
Imagination.
It's all right.
We actually had that same moment. If you're familiar with the I think it was the Green Fairy book. I can't remember.
I think so.
But the story is called The Stretcher.
Okay.
You familiar with that one?
I am not familiar, but I'm imagining torture
chamber
in my mind.
Type stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah. I was reading it and I got like halfway into that part of it. And I was like, I looked over at Anita. I was like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, do I keep going with this?
Make it up as you go. Yeah. Like read something else. Just
so it's some of them can get intense for sure, but that was the worst. The rest are doable.
I forgot about that one. That was one of those moments where we both looked at each other like, oh gosh.
But the great thing about Bluebeard is how even though it got really intense and scary and traumatic, it just made the redemption at the end like that much sweeter. So
yeah. And I was going to say with that too, like when you talk about the moral at the end, like the three little pigs, for example, if like the wolf doesn't get boiled, right, and eaten by the pigs, then the fact that they need to build a house and work hard doesn't exactly matter if the wolf can just like, oh, he's just fine and he goes off. Like the moral character that you're trying to, or the character trait that you're trying to instill in kids, like there needs to be like a weight to it and a seriousness that if I don't have this character trait, then things actually could really go bad for me. And it's not just like everything is going to be fine. So they can be a little intense sometimes, but I think there can be some good to that too.
Yep. And I try to keep it light and
do a good job at it. Yeah. I think another story that they've done that with is that I believe is the ant and the grasshopper, the ants and the grasshopper, where the ants prepare for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Gather their food and the grasshopper is just kind of hanging out doing his thing and lazy, and the winter comes. Well, in the real story, the grasshopper dies because he didn't do what he's supposed to do. I believe in the new one, I think they share or something.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So like that, there's no way that ant is sharing anything with the grasshopper.
Right.
So
exactly. So you, like you said, you kind of lose the point of the story sometimes when they change the ending, you know. It's the points hit home a lot more when grasshopper doesn't make it to the next spring.
Right.
So, totally.
Yeah.
Well, since your podcast is a variation of reading aloud, can you share the importance of reading aloud in your family?
Yeah, I think we have probably read to our kids just about
since like they were born.
Just about every single day since they've been born, you know, unless you're on vacation or something. I grew up, my mom made it. I'm very thankful to my mom for fostering reading in me. And, you know, she used to take us to the library. We used to read all the time. And luckily, I just liked reading as a child. And it's something I want to pass on to my kids. So the importance of reading aloud, I mean, what are you going to do? You can either turn the screens on or go that route, or you can read to your kids. And I mean, I think there's so many good things. I mean, they learn language. They're hearing their parents' voice or whoever's reading aloud to them. I think that's just human interaction instead of, you know, a screen.
They're hearing how words are pronounced, like how sentence inflection, and, you know, when you say something that has an exclamation point, you say excited or a question mark, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think there's, you know, I think there's something that like film can do that reading can't, but there's things that reading can do or literature can do that film can't. And I think you can get much deeper ideas or more like context with ideas through literature.
And it sparks your imagination, you know, like somebody's telling you a story.
Totally.
You're imagining it in your head. Whereas if you're watching it on a screen, somebody's already done all that imagination for you, and your brain doesn't have to like think, it doesn't have to use that part. So, you know, that's a huge thing, I think. And then just like the bonding time of our kids, they're always sitting on our laps when we're reading, or sitting near us at least, and, you know, just that time spent together. So they each get to pick out a book before we go to bed. So that's like, if sometimes we'll use that as like a discipline tool, like, you don't get to read your book tonight if you don't do this or whatever. So they love it. They really, it's like a anticipated thing. They always look forward to it at the end of the day.
Yeah, we do the same thing at bedtime, except we realized when we did take it away, we're like, wait, is that like a terrible idea? We're taking away away reading time from them.
As they get older, it didn't work as well.
Yeah, we had to like,
right. Oh, sweet, I don't read yet.
No, they still wanted it. It was just when they didn't do what we asked them to do, and it was like, all right, you just lost reading. And they were like, wait.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
We just took away math time or like something exactly. That like you need to be doing that.
Yeah. Anyway. How about ice cream? Let's take away ice cream.
Right. Yeah. That's a whole nother topic of discipline and best way of going about that. Absolutely. I've thought the same thing myself. Luckily, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, we've had to do it like less than five times.
Right. Probably. Nice.
No, but we enjoy the read aloud time as well. You have been doing a lot of he's really good at getting it going with, we come around, especially during this time where the temperatures have dropped, we put the fire on inside and we're coming around the fire and he's reading the book and the kids are playing board games quietly and listening, and it's just something that I think that we'll all remember forever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And like you guys said, it's the screens, it's just not the same thing at all.
Right.
And they get so much more out of the read aloud time.
I think you can see that in our son, especially like the imagination is his is enormous. And I think a lot of it does have to do because he is the one, when you read to him, especially stories like that you read, he is so into it. And he loves to draw as well. So he'll finish a story and he'll run to the schoolroom to go draw something that we just read. Mm-hmm. And he'll be in there for like hour and a half, just like a mad scientist in there drawing something up. He did it the other day too. Oh, before I forget, not to go down a rabbit hole, but we really enjoyed your video clip that went along with one of your stories. I think you were backpacking with your family out in Idaho.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you were hiking, you caught some trout. It was trout, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you were cleaning it up and getting ready to cook it. And it went along with the story that one of the stories you had done. And the kids thought that was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But just speaking of imagination, it kind of helped him after he did his own, you know, he did his own imagining, and then you get to watch you do that. And that was really neat. I enjoyed that too, cause I love the outdoors, but anyway, yeah, his imagination from reading, you can see the difference between that and how he reacts to it after than the flip side of like watching TV.
Yeah. Cause all the imagining's like, done for you.
Yeah,
exactly. And they yeah. do say that. They do say that kids that spend a lot of time in front of screens, their imagination's like shot.
Well, I absolutely love that you brought that up about your son drawing about the story, because I was just talking to my kids about introducing an idea on the podcast that like after we release an episode, encouraging kids to basically like do some sort of art project or whatever they want to do, just color, draw, paint, whatever they're into, something related to the story. And then, you know, somehow they could like upload it to something where all the other kids could look at it. I think that'd be a great idea, because our kids love drawing and coloring and all that. So you just gave me some confirmation on my idea. So love it.
Oh yeah. Our kids would be in for sure. Yeah. He would absolutely love that. And the fact that he could send it to you, who he believes is the actual knight.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Send you back a picture of like holding a sword.
I don't want to be like Santa Claus and just like dash little kids' dreams. But
actually, he did question, I think it was yesterday. He said, "Is he really a knight?" And I said, "Well, he's a modern day knight." And I explained why. And they're like, "Yeah, I can see that."
Yeah.
But the three-year-old still believes you're a knight, especially when he looks at the emblem on your podcast and knight.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
So
that's cute.
Yes, Melanie does all my, she does all the design stuff. I'm the nuts and bolts guy, and I sent it to her to make everything look pretty. So
you do a great job.
She does do a great job.
So yeah, I do the social media too. So at first I started to try to talk like I was him on social media. And then I'm like, this is not coming across right. Like even one of our friends is like, said something, and I was like, "Oh, by the way, this is Melanie." He's like, "Yeah, I can tell by the way you're talking, because Brad would not say that." I was like, "Oh, I can't even pretend to be talking like a guy." So yeah, it's always me.
Yeah, I'd never be able to. I think everybody has figured out that even though it's like Nathan and Anita, that it's always Anita posting and talking for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, that's not my thing.
Yeah, the less for me, the better.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And I'm like, okay, we created a podcast. You have set us up here.
Like, yeah. So
you got to do the dirty work.
You got to market it.
Right.
You do.
What I love about your podcast is that it's a free source for audio stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of Sarah McKenzie?
I think so.
Is that like a Read Aloud project or
Read Aloud Revival? Yes.
Read Aloud Revival.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yes, she's amazing. She's wonderful. And I was going to say, if you haven't, make sure you check her out, because she just everything about books, and she's been doing it for years. She's a homeschooling mom of like 6 kids. She's great. But so in one of the podcasts I was listening to, she said that she gets asked a lot if audiobooks count as read alouds. And she said, absolutely, yes, right? And she went on to say that in read-alouds, you're basically aiming for 2 factors. Number 1, you want sophisticated and correct language patterns coming in through the ears of your child. And number 2, the connection we make with our kids by sharing a story and explaining that world together. So good audiobooks, stories such as y'all's, meet these 2 factors. And I just like to put it out there, because there are still some parents that do question like, well, is that, does that count as a read aloud? Well, why not? You know, it's just not your parent's voice, but I found it really interesting that she brought up those 2 factors, which both of those meet, and that those are really the most important things for when you're hearing a story.
Yeah. That's great to hear. Thanks.
Totally. Yeah, I've often wondered, you know, if I'm listening to an audiobook, I'm like, man, does that really count like reading a book? You know, you tell someone, yeah, I just read this book. And it's like, actually, I listened to it. So, but I mean, audiobooks have their place. I mean, it's great to go mow the lawn and listen to something. You kind of like are doing 2 things at once. So I love audiobooks, and, you know, spoken word, I think it has its place. But I do like reading from the text. I'll pay attention more sometimes with audiobooks. I'll tend to kind of like my mind will float sometimes.
Yeah. They're also probably not as much of the story, you know, like if you're just listening to somebody talk about nonfiction.
Yeah, it depends. I could wander, for sure. But a lot of nuance.
The audio books are also a good tool for your emergent readers, mm-hmm. who are still trying to conquer reading themselves. So it's just another way that they can hear the content, the good content coming into their ears. And mm-hmm. it really does. And I feel like now that we've been able to share this journey with our kids of their education, I can see, you know, with our daughter, by the time we homeschooled, she had already, you know, learned to read and all that, because we started with her in third grade. But mm-hmm. with the six-year-old, we taught him to read. So to see that progression has been really amazing. And I do feel that as long as they were surrounded by like hearing books read to them in whatever form, it just makes such an impact.
So we had a quote that we really like, and we wanted to share it with you guys and see what you thought, because it kind of pretty much wraps up with what you actually do. So it says, if you want your children to be intelligent, read them fairy tales. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more fairy tales. Albert Einstein. I just want to see what your thoughts are on that and how you think that pertains to what you do.
You want to go first? You want me to go? Sure.
Well, I think we maybe touched on this a little bit, but like in our podcast, there's some kind of archaic almost language, and that is oftentimes in fairy tales, you hear words that are, we don't use in everyday conversation. So it exposes kids to different vocabulary that we just don't use anymore. And actually, I was thinking about that, and I had heard this a while ago, so I looked it up, but Shakespeare's vocabulary was something like 60,000 plus words, and ours in today is like 10 to 20,000 words, somewhere in there. So I just think back to like the times when fairy tales were written, people just had a much richer vocabulary, and I'm not sure if they talk like that in everyday language, but I kind of like to think that they did. So, you know, just the more words you know, then it just allows you to communicate better and you can express yourself. And, you know, I just think that it's just better to have, you know, larger vocabulary. Yeah. So also, I guess learning, you could learn from the past when you, you know, listen to fairy tales. They talk about, like you were saying, the rough and thorny road of our ancestors. And if you're just reading things that were just written in the past 10 or 20 years, then it doesn't touch on the past.
We look at it as, or I do at least, that a lot of times people think that everything that you read or our kids are learning needs to be based in like fact.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, and sometimes people might think that a fairy tale is what she was saying was, you know, twaddle, just mm-hmm. nonsensical, you know, reading. But depending on what it is, I think giving them a fairy tale, like we had talked about before with their imagination, fairy tales open up their imagination to where anything is possible. And I think carrying that on as you get older is a big deal, because although when you get older, things need to be based in fact, it's people that have the imagination that create things that people thought were impossible.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
And so I love that quote, and I think it's, you know, it's great for what you guys do. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great for kids to learn about a world of wonder and adventure and, you know, something bigger than themselves when they're young, then, exactly. You know, trying to hear about that. Yeah. When you're older and you're set in your ways, you're an old person. When you're yes. a kid, it's good. It's good to hear about, you know, the big wide world and what could be.
Yeah, I think I agree with the spirit of what Dr. Einstein is trying to say there. I think I would switch the word intelligence for wisdom. I look at intelligence as just like raw processing power. Whereas wisdom is, you know, applying knowledge to, you know, what is the right thing to do in situations. So what I like about the fairy tales and the other, you know, legends, myths, folk tales that we have been reading is there's a lot of behavior. You can see how the characters behave with each other, how they deal with conflict. And you can see like, okay, this did not go right for this person because of the decision he made. Whereas this person was rewarded because of his behavior. And I don't think that's exclusive to fairy tales, but I think it's good to read. Like these stories are classics for a reason. They're around for a reason.
Yep.
All right. There's something in it that I don't even know if we can necessarily explain, but they've been passed down for who knows how many generations, and it's considered classic literature for a reason. And so, yes, I think it's good to read them. I think it's especially beneficial for children. But I think it has to do more with wisdom than intelligence.
So how do you think putting this podcast together brings your family closer, and does it?
I mean, it actually does. It's been a lot of work, but it's been fun to create something as a family together. And it's been really cool to take, you know, our daughter, Charlotte, who just turned 4, and a kind of, man, I don't know if you can put like a 4-year-old outside their comfort zone, because I'm not sure how much they even have a clue of what's going on, but to kind of like, encourage them to do something like get behind the mic and try to say these words, like try to be a character. I think that's going to help them develop their confidence, their public speaking, or just speaking in general, communication skills. My parents have helped out with stuff, aunts and uncles, neighbors, friends from church, other friends. It's kind of been like a community effort. And it's been a lot of fun to create something that's good, beautiful, and true together with other people who enjoy it and want to listen to it.
I saw on your Instagram page, it was a clip that you had put up of you, the bloopers. That's what it is. The bloopers.
Yeah.
I loved those. It's just real. Like, this is how it goes down recording as a family. And then I love how you put the kids are like, you were trying to get the kids to record and you're like, this escalated real quick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I try not to be, I try to put out a good product, but I'm also not trying to be like too serious with the kids. You know, like, I'll have my nephew come over and, you know, sometimes we gotta do one line a couple times, you know. I'm a tough producer, but I think it's good for both of us. It helps me with patience, and it helps them be held to, some sort of standard, you know, Sir Bradley standards.
Mm-hmm, right. But, yeah. I think that one that you're talking about, Anita, Charlotte was like doing gymnastics and she was like, saying mayor and stuff. And I was like, who are you? Like, she was like getting into her character. I was like, okay, I need to say my line for the junior class. She gets real into it. It's funny.
But, it's really cute.
It's especially fulfilling to make the show and then for us to listen to it together, like with my kids, and they can be like, oh, like that's me on the show, or, you know, that's mommy and that was grandma. So it's really cool. It definitely brings us together.
No, it's neat that you guys can do that. Ours, we can't really do that. Bring them on.
The kids. No,
we get excited depending on who we have on. Like you, you guys, they're here. They're really excited about. We did a podcast with the music podcast for kids, and they do this whole production. If you guys haven't listened to them, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're pros for sure.
What's that one called?
The music podcast for
kids. Oh, it's called the music podcast for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when we were doing the podcast, like, you know, we had the video going. I told him it looked like the Rolling Stones were about to walk into the recording studio, because that's how high tech this thing was. And they're really good. Like, all their sound effects and just the whole story, it's really cool. But anyway, they were super pumped when we had those guys on. And
cool. So
that part's fun for us. The rest of the time, we're all doing is trying to keep them from walking into the through the door while we're recording, which happens almost every time we record.
Maybe you should interview them next. You could interview your kids, see how they feel about homeschooling.
But you know what? People love those spontaneous moments, so it's all good.
Yeah. We roll with it too. Yeah, yep. It's real. We do a homeschooling podcast. Everybody that listens to us has kids, I would hope. Otherwise, kind of strange. But
right,
you know. So if they can't deal with a couple of kids, playing in the background, then they can listen to something else. So we're fine with it, and it's all part of the fun, but they get involved in other ways, and it's been really cool for us too. But you're right, it is a ton of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Hobby, air quotes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of work on his part.
But you know what? Like, if we want good stuff out there, someone's got to make it. So right. That's what I always come back to.
And even though our kids can't come onto our show, I feel like them watching us put this together on the side and pouring our heart and soul into something that we enjoy is something that benefits them, and that they see that, and when they get older, they know that it's good that I can, whatever I'm passionate about, I can go down that rabbit hole and figure out things to do with that. And I feel like it sets up a good example for them. So you ready for the your favorite quote, and what does it mean to you?
Do you have one?
I do have a favorite quote.
Okay.
When I was in eighth grade, Mr. Brandt, I think was his name, had all these different quotes up on his wall. And so when I didn't feel like paying attention during class, I would just, look around at all different quotes. And there was one that for some reason I've never forgotten. And I think he let, like, at the end of the year, everyone could take their favorite. So I took one, and it was from Benjamin Franklin, and it was, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." So it's my favorite one.
Do you wake up early though?
No. I used to be a morning person. And then I think the military just ruined it. Like, it just was like, now I'm just gonna sleep in like whenever I can.
Well, because you were doing missions like at night.
Yeah. And so. I work midnights too now, so I'm always like on a weird shift. It's like, if I can sleep, I'm sleeping.
But so. You do go to bed early. Early to bed, late to rise.
I make sleep a priority for sure. Yes. Yep.
So you disagree with both Albert Einstein and Benjamin Franklin?
Well, he likes the quote, I think. He just doesn't follow the advice in it, right? There
you go. I'm one that has to analyze the quotes a little bit.
Well, that one's self-explanatory, and I actually agree with it too. I do wait. We wake up early
and
on purpose, yeah.
I go to bed late. So.
She does, yeah.
And when I say, he sleeps in, it's not like he sleeps until like 6:45. Like, it's not like, he's not sleeping until
I'm not
9.
Getting up at like, 5 a.m. But
right. It's that's still pretty early for most people. Yeah, we wake up at 5:30, but
that's early.
Still early for most.
It is. Did you have one, Melanie, you wanted to share or no?
I do have something that I'll share, but I was gonna say I don't really have like favorite quotes. I will see something and I'm like, oh, that's great, I love that. But something that I thought of that actually came out of one of the podcasts is from Jack and the Beanstalk, and our son actually, like, he was Jack in the story. So he read this and it says, "I fear nothing when I'm doing right." And I just thought, like, that's something that has stuck with me out of all the podcasts that we've done. I'm like, yes, that, like, that's a great thing for a kid to just be like, kind of hold on to, like, okay, even if something might be scary or hard, like, I'm going to have the courage and I'm not going to be afraid. If I'm doing the right thing, if I'm doing what's right, then I really have nothing to fear. So
that is so true.
Yeah, if I can jump on that, I always try to sign off all the episodes with encouraging the kids to be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth. And that Jack and the Beanstalk episode has definitely stuck with me, that whole idea, like, I fear nothing when doing right. Like, if there's anything that I'd want my kids to get out of it, or for me myself to remember and act that way, it would be that quote, "Fear nothing when doing right."
I think so many of us can take away from that, adults too.
It's a great way to end it. Yeah. So with that, where can people find you guys?
JuniorClassicsPodcast.com or anywhere that you can find a podcast. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm just trying to make the show better as I go. So the last couple episodes, I've been adding in music and sound effects, and just trying to up the entertainment value of the shows. So look forward to that. Our next series will be Tales from India, with actually my favorite story that I've ever read so far. So I'll just leave that little teaser there.
And we have noticed it. it's gotten really good, actually. So I can see why it takes time, because there, I've seen the progression of you adding more sound effects and music. And we're supposed to be ending this, but I had to ask, at the end of every episode, you play classical music, which I love. Is there a reason why?
You know what? I know. I just started doing it. You know, I want the show to be entertaining, educational. What's great about the show is it kind of combines like all my interests at once: history, geography, culture, art. I have a lot of different interests, and it kind of combines all of them. So I also like, you know, music, and I am also kind of trying to expose kids to the legacy of Western civilization and all the art and music and literature and architecture and all that goes into it. So when I can find ways to put it in there, I will. So the whole idea with the music was to like give kids something to wind down to after, like if they're listening before bed. Should probably do a better job of like introducing why I'm doing it. But like I said, a lot of this is just discovery as I go, and I don't think it hurts. So we'll see.
It's great.
Do you like the music at the end?
We love it.
We do, yeah.
And it's perfect, even for those who are doing it like us in the morning, because we're doing school, like when it ends, they just go right into their work, and that's playing. And then when that goes off, we end up listening to classical music anyway. So it's perfect.
Totally. Yeah, what's kind of cool about the music too is there's this other like network of people that it's like a private social media thing. And a lot of them listen to the shows. And I was just like, hey, send me your favorite piece of classical music. And like 40 people sent me it. And now I just go down the list and put it in there. So it's a cool way to like get other people involved and like, okay, I put your music in, bud.
Nice. It actually reminds me of like the rolling credits at the end of a movie, because like the whole production value of your show has gotten to the point where it's like the sounds are like coming from a movie, and then it ends, and then you have that music. It always reminds me of like when the movie ends and it has like the rolling credits with the music. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us on. It's been great. Great to meet you guys.
You too. Thanks for coming on. We really enjoyed it, and we'll keep listening.
All right. Yeah. And you can tell your son, look out for that, the art idea of uploading it and sharing it with other kids around around the world.
You can tell him that he gave the push for us to do it,
because we
were thinking about it. So
Sir Bradley listened.
he'll be pumped.
We'll tell him. Yeah.
Well, thanks guys. Have
a good
rest of your day.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
We want to thank Brad and Melanie for joining us today. We really enjoyed that conversation. We also want to thank each one of you for coming back week after week as we sit down and have discussions with amazing people. Stay tuned next week as we talk to Brianna from Crazy Family Adventure, as she discusses her family's adventures with life on the road. And as always, let's light a fire they can't put out.